Well, you can see the title of the message is called Battle of the Mind. And anytime if you were in my shoes, you would realize pretty quickly that if you're going to be talking about the battle of the mind, if you're going to be telling somebody how to deal with the challenges that come to you because of the spiritual conflict that takes place in your mind every day, you would realize that there would be a battle in the mind of the person who's trying to bring the message of the battle of the mind. Does that make sense? And it's very likely and could be the same thing that happens to you, that because you are hearing and learning about the battle of the mind, it could actually cause a greater surge of conflict. You know, the enemy might plan a surge, see if they can bring more troops to bear. But you're going to learn some things today that are really going to help you deal with that. And I can tell you that I have learned from this myself. We'll be looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, if you want to turn there. In the Armor Up series a few weeks, months ago, it was a series on spiritual warfare. We learned a great deal about spiritual warfare. There's a great war, a great battle, and raging all around us in the spirit realm. And even though you cannot see it, this epic struggle is being waged in the heavenly and is impacting every human on earth. That is why you and I must put on the whole armor of God. But there is also a related conflict that takes place within the mind of every believer. You experience this on a daily basis. Here's the truth. War is raging in your head. War is raging in your head. Does that make you feel crazy? Mm-hmm. Does that explain the insanity in your life? Does that explain the insanity in your spouse? Yeah. I told you never know what's going to come out of this mouth after this. The spiritual battle that occurs in the mind of man is often really one of the most intense struggles that could ever be fought. It is a battle between the natural man, the sinful man, and the spiritual man, between right and wrong, between good and evil, and most assuredly between life and death. Two opposing forces are engaged in an epic battle in your mind. You can tell they're going on right now in my mind. The sinful, natural man has declared war on your spirit man. The old you is using every weapon available to destroy the spiritual life of the new you, the born again you. The battle really comes down to your mind. What will you allow in? What will you keep out? What thoughts will dominate your day? Will you be mentally prepared for all the assault of evil that's coming your way? If you've had assault of evil in your mind, say, uh-huh. Paul addressed these issues in Romans 8, verse 5, says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, it shows us how to live. And today, Lord God, from this passage and other passages, we can gain a new insight on how to deal with this warfare that's taking place in our minds. Help us, Almighty God. Create in us that new and exciting spirit that says we can overcome, we can live for God. In your holy name, amen. Paul said, set your mind. And according to the Word of God, this mental conflict really comes down to your mindset. Everybody say mindset. And so I think it's good to define it. So a mindset is a fixed mental attitude or disposition that predetermines. Now you got to get this. Predetermines ahead of time, okay, makes up its mind ahead of time, a person's responses to and interpretations of situations. It is very likely that a lot of the mistakes that you make in relationships are because you speak before you think. If I'm hitting a good one, say amen. I thought so. Now I say so. You need to think before you speak. So you need to predetermine your responses. Mental toughness and mental conditioning. And when you condition responses, win the battle every day. If you want to win the battle, you got to condition your mind and build up some mental ability and preparedness for that. Training your mind to respond to conflict in the right way is the most important thing you can do when facing tough spiritual challenges. Training is vital to success. You do not want to send a soldier into battle without adequate training. In fact, the Navy SEALs often say, the more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in battle. So if you want to win the war in the mind, you want to prepare ahead of time for that war. You want to go through some basic training. In fact, really, for this warfare that's taking place in your mind, you want to have the same kind of training that the Navy SEALs have. You don't want to just have basic training, but you want to have that advanced level of training where you know and you exactly know what your responses will be in any given situation. To guard your mind and combat the all-out assault of the enemy, you need to decide some predetermined responses for engaging in a battle for your mind. So here's the first one. You need to be predetermined in your response. Number one, develop a winning strategy. Warfare can be compared to the game of chess. That's why we have chess pieces here today. Julie Garwood wrote, a war is like a game of chess. Every battle is like a well-thought-out move on the board. Once it begins, there shouldn't be any emotion involved whatsoever. In other words, if you're going to go to war, go to war. Don't have second guesses. Whenever America wins wars, it's because we turn it over to the military who wages war better than any other military there ever has been on earth. The American military is the greatest force for good on planet earth today. There's nothing compared to that. Nothing. And yet, we've lost wars, and I'll tell you why. Because second-guessing politics got in the way. You cannot do that. You cannot have a strategy that involves emotion. You go to war to fight a war, and that means people die, and things get blown up, and things get messed up. That's what war is all about. So the possibilities of winning at chess are greatly enhanced if you have a winning strategy. I've actually seen somebody play chess, and they didn't care if they won or lost. For the person on the other side of the board, it's very frustrating to be playing chess with somebody who's just moving the pieces around the board. You want somebody who's thinking ahead, trying to defeat you so you can strategize to beat them. In other words, you really need to have a plan to win. Harvey McKay put it this way, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. If you ever have an insurance agent come to your house to talk to you about insurance, he's probably going to use Harvey McKay's words because it's important that you have a plan for your future. If you're aging in this room, everybody who's over 50 knows what I'm talking about. If you're under 50, trust the rest of us, you need to plan, or if you don't plan, you're going to fail. It's true in chess. It's true in spiritual warfare. It's true in life. No one in their right mind would agree to do or go into battle that they could not win. Why would you wage a war that you cannot win? So you need to have that winning strategy. Christians are on the winning side. God wins. God wins. But sadly, there's far too many Christians who literally expect to lose when it comes to their own personal warfare of the mind. They expect to lose. Oh, I'm going to lose. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to fail. So to win this spiritual battle raging in your mind, I want you to make sure that you use some strategic training aids, okay? These aids will help you to see, S-E-E. First aid, seek God. Seek God ahead of time. Look to God for His help. In fact, expect the Holy Spirit to help. God wants to help you. He wants to help you deal with this warfare that's going on in your mind. That's why there's warfare in the heavenlies, because God is coming to aid you, to assist you. And the next thing is so important. God helps you so much, but he expects you to be involved as well. You can't give it all over to him. You got to come up and do a little bit yourself. So you need to employ a can-do attitude. Seek God, expect the Holy Spirit to help, employ a can-do attitude. Attitude is huge. We would have never gotten the day done yesterday if we didn't have good attitudes out there making it happen. Attitude is, in fact, winning strategies require winning attitudes. So if your attitude is not right, your strategy is never going to work. You must believe that you will win. If you feel weak in your faith, or if you're prone to pessimism, it is extremely important for you to experience this change of attitude. How do you know you're a pessimist or not? If the glass is half full, and you look at the glass and you see the glass as half empty, you are a pessimist. So that's a good test. Fill up a glass of water, half full, and determine for yourself, is it half full or half empty? Now, there are a few pragmatists in the room. You're going to say, it's half. It's not full. It's not empty. It's half. For the pragmatist, get over it. Choose one or the other. Joyce Meyer, in her book, The Battlefield of the Mind, wrote, you cannot have a positive life and a negative mind. Somebody needed that today. You needed that. The best place to start your attitude improvement campaign is in the Word of God. If you want to change your attitude, get into some of these excellent passages that every believer, I think, should memorize and recite often. Here they are. Number one. But seek first his kingdom, I told you you'd see it again, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So when you're in this raging battle in the mind, when you walk into Costco and they've got a new 70-inch TV for $24.95 and free delivery and 2 years of support behind it, and you don't have $24.95, but you walk over there and they give you a credit card that you can put that on credit with easy payment terms at 27%, and you decide you're going to buy that, you need to know this verse. But seek first his kingdom. Put God first. Can you continue to serve God if you have a 70-inch TV hanging in your house? If you got $150, $200 payments a month for a TV you can't drive, you can't live in, it doesn't make you a meal, it just turns on and occupies your time. Oh, I done gone to meddling now. I can see it. Everybody in here had an idea on a 70-inch. I can tell. I can see that. Seek first the kingdom of God. This verse will help you deal with those kind of decisions. If I focus on godly things, then God will focus on me. And there are a lot of people who have 70-inch TVs, but they don't lose their salvation over it. They don't lose their homes over it. They don't lose their families over it. 1 John 4:4 is another good one. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God told me that somebody needed to hear that today. God literally spoke to me and said, somebody needs to hear this again today. You may have heard it before. You may have got it in Sunday school as a child, but it is true. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I want everybody to say that with me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Have you got something coming against you? Is there a battle going on in your mind? You don't know what to do. The world is telling you to do this thing, and you know God is telling you to do this thing, but you're leaning toward the things of the world. You got to remember this. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Are you under an attack of the enemy? Is he coming at you with everything he's got? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Have you failed? Have you sinned? Do you feel bad about it? Well, remember this. God saved you. He's holding you confess that sin, and remember, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're greater than sin because you got God in you. You can handle anything because greatness is in you. Not just your greatness, but the greatness of God. When Christ comes into your heart, the most powerful force in the universe comes to your disposal to help you deal with this. How can you lose with Christ on your side? The answer is never. You're never going to lose. We win. We win every time. We win the war. We're winners. That's who we are. We're overcomers. So fight to win the battle for your mind. Finally, Philippians 4:13. Some of you can probably quote it. Anybody know what Philippians 4:13 says? Anybody? See, I didn't put it in there because I want to check you. You'll know it now. I can do all things. What? I can do all things. I can do all things. Say it one more time. That's right. No matter what it is, no matter how challenging, no matter how difficult, no matter how below you, no matter how disturbing it is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We had our grandkids visiting last week, and one of them is a little baby, hasn't learned to be potty trained, had a dirty diaper. I was saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Joyce came in. She said, has he got a dirty diaper? I said, yes, praise you, Jesus. Joyce can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we can. We can win. We can win the victory. It's as simple as, it's not I think I can. You may have learned that in school as a preschooler. But it is I can. Everybody say I can. You can. This winning strategy demands this I can attitude. The things that took place yesterday would never have happened. The Bethel Cafe would never have happened. This sermon would never have occurred today if the people involved in it didn't have an I can attitude. I can do this. Whatever God calls you to do, you got to understand, I can. Because the I am is in you, and the I am has called you. That means you can. Tell your neighbor, I can. Romans says each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Are you fully convinced? I mean, you said it. You said I can, but did you really mean it? Because that's what you need to do. You should be fully convinced that you can win the victory. I can. Let's say it again. I can. Second, choose the right weapons. This is where a lot of Christians fail. See, the enemy has a staggering array of weapons available. I'm going to list a few. The first is obvious, lying. The enemy uses lies. Stealing, hatred, idolatry, murder, including abortion on demand. Pornography, deviant sexuality, and so much more. I mean, we could go down a long list of horrible sins, but you should already know the obvious. If you know the obvious, say, uh-huh. Then there are some things that are not so obvious. I mentioned one earlier, television. Television, smartphones, the internet, Google. You're going, what? iPads, iPhones, iPods, iTunes, I whatever. Me. Mine. Now, you understand there's nothing really inherently sinful in these things. But these things really do become an avenue of sin into lives. If you know what I'm talking about, say amen. Satan has used these and a myriad of other devices and concepts to move believers toward this natural, secular mindset. I don't know if you recognize it, but in the world today, there's a powerful movement that is trying to move the church out of the center of our society over to this side thing so that the secular thought can rule everything. Our nation will not last if it becomes a secular nation. Our nation was founded on godly principles, on Christian faith, and we need a Christian nation. That's the only thing that's going to keep the world from going into turmoil, is a Christian nation. As long as there are free Christians on planet Earth, that's it. If you don't have that, it's over. Now, all these things I mentioned can be used for good. I'm preaching from an iPad, and I thank God. Man, I can see my notes. Look at those notes. If you can't see that, you can preach from it. How cool is that? The lights can go out, and I can still preach. That's pretty cool. Somebody be going, man, next time the lights go out, he's going to keep going. We could leave, but he's going to keep going. There are things that seem innocent in this world. And these things can still, innocent, seemingly innocent things can be used to support this steadily marching tide of evil that's trying to overcome the world and trying to overcome your mind. Are you ready? Here are some of these. In fact, there are a lot of American companies that support causes that basically trash Christians and Christianity and faith. Ooh. That happened earlier, but not quite that bad. Are you listening to what I got to tell you? Bet you're listening now. That's right. There is this secular mindset that's trying to overcome and overtake the world, and you don't have to worry about that if you trust God. If God is active in your life, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry. But here's the truth. The widow of Dr. Susan, yeah, there we go. The widow of Dr. Seuss, who controls hundreds of millions of dollars. You hear me? Hundreds of millions of dollars. Turn the tape recorder back on if it didn't come on. Hundreds of millions of dollars in this woman's control. Dr. Seuss. How many of you ever bought or read a Dr. Seuss book? Raise your hand. Let me tell you what she, let me tell you who she is. She's the number one supporter of Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider on earth. Did you hear that? Dr. Seuss books support the murder of unborn children. I do not like that, Sam, I am. The owner of the Muppets supports causes that stand in direct opposition to Christianity, and they recently ended a very long and successful relationship with Chick-fil-A because Chick-fil-A, you heard about all of that, was, and now they wanted to demonstrate their support for gay marriage. So Muppets now support gay marriage. Should have known something was going on when there was a pig and a frog hanging out together. We should have figured that out. I'm moving on. I'm going to leave that out the next service, all right? Here we go. The Home Depot is also a very strong supporter of homosexual causes, including gay marriage. In fact, I didn't want to put it up here, but they had a truck in a parade that they changed it to Homo Depot. The company did this. They didn't, not an employee driving the truck, but the company said, change the name of our logo to say Homo Depot. If you ever shopped at the Home Depot, you're supporting homosexual causes and gay marriage. More saving and more doing has become more sin and more debauchery. Now let me make this clear. We don't hate people because of their sin. Okay? We love everyone. No matter what kind of life they live, we love them. You get that? We love them. But we love them enough to tell them the truth, and sin is sin, and sin will take you straight to hell. And everybody needs somebody to let them know if they're living in sin, somebody needs to point that out to them. What a shame it would be for us to just go, you know what, let's let everybody live like they need to live and don't bother people. That's what the secular mindset wants you to do, wants to leave everybody alone. They want to pick on you because you're a Christian, but they want to let everybody else do whatever they want to. Why? Because they're in sin. And that sin is, the end result of sin is eternity in hell. Somebody needs to point that out to them. Now, the truth is, the younger generation, those who are 30 and younger, you're sitting here and you're hearing your pastor say something, and in your mind you're going, I'm not sure I agree with my pastor, because you've had such an onslaught of this thing coming to you that, hey, they're good people, they contribute to society, all these good things. How can you call that sin? They're good people. Well, the truth is, you have been bombarded so much in your young minds that you don't understand what sin is, because it's been laid out before you so much it just looks normal. That's what sinners want to do. They want sin to seem so normal. That's how the world conducts spiritual warfare. The idea is to keep blurring and moving the line of decency until believers give up the fight. And that's exactly what's happening in America today. How can someone be so successful in business like these people are and yet be so misdirected in life? They actually see themselves as kings and queens and bishops, when in reality they're pawns under the direction of the devil. 2 Corinthians 4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Satan wants to blind everyone. He wants to blind you. He can blind believers because they don't have a new person in there to wage this war. They don't have the Spirit of God on their side. But Christians are called to do things differently. We should talk differently than the world. Nick Saban is a good man. He's a good coach. Okay, he's a Christian. He's a Catholic. He loves God. But guess what he does on the ball field on Saturday when somebody messes up? You don't have to have the sound turned up to know what kind of language the guy's using. He's using the same language in the gutter that people in the gutter use, okay? And I'm not picking on any one person. It's true for a lot of Christians. You get behind the wheel, you get angry, you never know what's going to come out of somebody's mouth. But I'm here to tell you, Christians ought to speak differently. We ought to walk differently. We ought to act differently. We ought to surf the internet differently than the world. We ought to do Facebook differently than the world. We wage spiritual warfare differently than the world. In 2 Corinthians it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." We are in control. Do you get that? God comes in, a new spirit comes in, and he gives you control. The only way the enemy can win is when you turn control over to the enemy. You already have control. You are walking in a different way, talking in a different way, living in a different way, doing things in a different way. But if you fall back to that other way, it's because you let it happen. You allowed it. You gave the keys over and said, "Here, go do what you want to do." Everybody in this room knows what I'm talking about. Our weapons are spiritual weapons. Strongholds are demolished through prayer and righteous living. Your life of Christ is far more powerful than any tactic the enemy could come up with. So you live, you love, you forgive, you tell the truth, you do right things, you care for others. All of these things are wonderful, powerful deterrents to this spiritual attack of the enemy. But I want to harp on something, all right? We're going to harp on something today. You ready for me to harp on something? Use your harp as your spiritual weapon, all right? Here's how to harp your way through a spiritual conflict. This is the right response, okay? When you get wrong attacks, when things happen, when you find yourself failing, start playing your little harp, my Christian friends, and this is going to help you through, okay? Number one, be honest. Be honest. Number two, be accountable. And if you're accountable, it goes back to number one, you're going to be honest. You need someone in life that you're accountable to. Did you know that my wife knows every password in my life? She knows every way and everything to get into my computer. She can read every email that comes to my email box. She does. And I let her, okay? Because I have accountability. And I want to be honest with her. Of all the people on planet Earth I want to please, she's the first one. I want you to understand that. And she's my accountability partner, and I am hers. I know every password in her life. I didn't think I knew them all yesterday because I was trying to get in her computer here and I was struggling, but I remembered it. Hallelujah. But we do that. We help each other. We watch each other. I don't have a room that I go into that I lock her out that she can't come in. She has access to every place I am. When I'm working on sermons late at night, she's available to come look over my shoulder and observe everything I'm doing because I want to be accountable. I want to be honest. You want that in your life, honesty and accountability. Number three goes right along with that. Be real. Why put on? Why try to be something you're not? You are what you are. Okay? Be real. Be real with everyone in your life. Don't try to be something that you're not. That is the first step into lying. That is the first step into cheating. Most people get into trouble with lies, and I've actually seen marriages break up because when they were dating, the guy didn't tell the girl all about the people he dated before. Oops, I forgot her. Oops, I forgot to tell you about her. And then, well, you weren't honest with me about this one. What about that one? And pretty soon, the distrust. And he wouldn't tell her anything because everything he told her made more distrust. And pretty soon, they couldn't even get along. and their marriage broke up because he didn't tell the truth to begin with. Don't hold back. Tell the truth. Be honest. Be real. Be accountable. Finally, be persistent. This is probably the most important one when you're talking about spiritual warfare. It means you're going to diligently hang in there with God. You're going to diligently resist and say no to sin. You're going to do the things you have to do. You're going to continue to do good in the face of every adversity that comes your way. These are the traits that 2 Corinthians upholds. These weapons win the battle of the mind. Number three, and finally, hold the high ground. Hold the high ground. Every student of war understands the value of the high ground. It's far more important. Because the high ground in spiritual warfare is really high, okay? This is really important. Colossians says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. There's that mindset thing again. Set your mind. The choice is laid out. Earthly things or heavenly things? What are you going to go for? The biblical direction is clear. Focus on things above. So when you're in a mental warfare, you're in a mental challenge, and the enemy is coming against you in your mind, you realize the mind is the battlefield, right? You get that. So when the enemy comes against your mind, if you're thinking about things here, if you're trying to hold on to things here, the enemy most likely is going to win. But if you're thinking about the future, if you're thinking about eternity, you are going to win. You're going to win. The place to hold on to is not an earthly location. It's a heavenly location. You're not fighting for any earthly cause. You're fighting for a heavenly purpose. You're not a pawn to be discarded. You're a valuable part of God's plan. And all of heaven is literally working for your victory. All of heaven is in this battle in the spiritual realm to give you the victory in your mind. The game of chess is all about position, okay? It's all about where you place those pieces on the board. And position means everything because certain players can move certain directions and protect certain places. So each chess holds its position, defends its other positions. Moves can either strengthen or weaken the other player. An opponent will often set a trap to encourage you to make your move. And when you do, they take you with something else. They set up a little trap. And it moves you to a place where you can be weak or be captured. But this is also true in the battle of the mind. The enemy will set a trap. He'll have you looking over here at this thing while he's planning things over here, and you move in this direction, and he's got you. That's how the enemy works. He's going to be setting traps. He does this, and so when you sense this, don't move in the direction of sin. Stand your ground. Trust the Lord. Follow his directions. Do what he says. Hold the high ground. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. And that will just literally transform your reality. You'll live a different kind of life. And Romans 12 tells us this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't get caught. Constantly be giving fresh word, fresh things. Coming to church is a good thing. Hearing a message about the battle of the mind is a good thing because it'll give you scriptures to help you be prepared when that attack comes into your life. The natural man's going to scratch and claw and do everything he can to hold on to every stronghold in your life. But if you'll focus on God and let God transform your mind, he will make you an overcomer. He'll turn you from a pawn into a king. God makes his followers kings. Your spiritual man will conquer your natural man. If you'll do these things, set your mind on these spiritual things. In fact, spirit is going to win over this. Everything that's natural is going to be wiped away. The natural will not exist forever. Only your spirit man will exist forever. God's going to give us a new body. The Bible says we're going to be changed. You're not going to have this same old body that's beaten down by sin and struggling with sickness and disease. No, you're going to have a new body, changed completely. So set your mind on these spiritual things. Focus on the signals from God and resist the signals from the enemy. There's a great general in World War II, George Patton, was a fierce warrior and a great leader. He understood about battle and warfare. He said, if you're going to win any battle, you have to do one thing. We sang that song today, one thing. You have to make the mind run the body. Never let the body tell the mind what to do. 5:45 this morning, my clock went off, and I realized that Brother Bo was most likely here at the church without me. I got to go. But my body said, you're not going anywhere. And then the Lord said, well, here you are. On the very day, you're going to preach the battle of the mind. And your mind, your heart, your spirit says one thing, and your body says the other. What are you going to do? I said, right hand, take over the left hand. Pull it up. Pull it out of bed. I could manage one hand, so I just pulled myself out of bed with one hand. Get up. Get going. Get moving. Get in the shower. Get awake. Get excited. You're about to meet the people that you love and get to preach to them. So you got to hold on to the high ground. And this is how you do it. Mind over matter. Mind over matter every time. Develop a winning strategy. Choose and use all the right weapons. Don't be caught using the weapons of the enemy. They don't work for you. Hold a spiritual high ground. And remember this. God said, remember this. Fix it in your mind. Take it to heart. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned to do, that will I do. That's what God wants you to understand. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you to have victory in the battle of the mind. You are an overcomer. You are victorious because God's had a plan for that all along. Just like we're supposed to plan ahead, here's the good news. God planned ahead a long time ago. He had this before he spoke the words that brought all of creation into being. God had a plan for your soul. God had a plan, and he's working it out. He's going to make it all the way. He is faithful. The Bible literally says what he's begun, that good work he's begun, he's faithful to complete that work. If he's brought you into salvation, if he's brought you into faith, you think he's going to let you go? He's going to hang on to you. But the enemy wants you to think you're here and you're handling this all on your own. You're all alone. You are not. You've got God on your side. Start playing that heart. Be honest. Be accountable. Do these kind of things that will help you manage these circumstances when the battle comes to you. God is going to accomplish what he set out to do. And you can too. You absolutely can. So the final question of the day is, are you winning the battle of the mind?